We made this.
To the TARDIS crew, a Doctor Who podcast for the We Made This podcast network. I'm Ben Greenland, and this time I'm hosting, because why not? And I'm joined in my adventure through time and space by my co-host and Father Baz, who, yeah, I guess he's a decent podcaster.
Thank you for that introduction, Ben.
You are very welcome. So, this time, we are talking about Sixth Doctor and his redemption through the world of Big Finish, similar to how we went through the Eighth Doctor a couple of months back. So, for those who might not know, the Sixth Doctor, he's not loved on TV, quite maligned, although he's probably been overshadowed by Jodie Whittaker at this point.
Well, I have to see, won't we? Obviously, as we're recording this, we're about to go into the finale of Jodie Whittaker's era, but obviously this episode will be coming out afterwards, so we'll see where the dust settles after the Power of the Doctor.
Especially as Colin Baker's somewhat rumoured to be in that episode. But yeah, people seem to take his work on Big Finish as much better, better writers, better performance, let Colin Baker take the reins a bit more. And I would agree, he is a lot better on Big Finish, a lot kinder as well. And yeah, so I guess we'll start by, do you have a favourite Sixth Doctor story? Could be TV, could be Big Finish. I don't think you've read the books or comics, but
I haven't read the books and comics yet, not quite as well versed in the entire Doctor Who range as you.
Yeah. Actually, I think Colin Baker wrote a comic once, him and Frobisher.
Well, there you go then. I'm aware of Frobisher, certainly. Yes. So, no, I mean, my experience of Colin Baker's Doctor is obviously a TV. I've seen all his TV stories, and I believe I've seen all his... I've only seen half of.
Hmm.
A few little gaps, but I've seen most of his stuff. And I've listened to quite a lot of Sixth Doctor Big Finish, and I know we'll get on to it, but I always really enjoy Colin Baker's stories at Big Finish. I think there's some really, really great stuff. But I think overall story, ones that spring to mind, I think it's definitely on the Big Finish side. It's probably anything with Constance and Flip and the Sixth Doctor together. I'd probably say Static. That certainly rings a bell, but a lot of them around that kind of era as well. There's the middle, Law the Nomad. There's quite a lot around there that kind of really stand out for me over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to a lot more wider range, so Flip and Constance is kind of where I started Sixth Doctor-wise, but I've gone back to the beginning, gone through, Evelyn, and I'm making my way through it now. But funny you should mention Static, because in that trilogy, the one beforehand, the middle, would be my pick. I think the middle is genuinely the best Sixth Doctor story there is. Chris Chapman in particular, he writes possibly the best Sixth Doctor stories there is. There's only one I haven't really liked, Ironbright, but I think that's more down to a personal preference, a pure historical, well, not pure historical, just historicals in general, but his other ones Scorched Earth, Plight of the Pimpernel, Elevation, and obviously the middle, I all adore, and it seems he's writing another Sixth Doctor Big Finish story very soon. Mm. Script's been teased on Twitter, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, Ironbright, is that the one when they were in the tunnel in London?
Yeah, and then it went to the sci-fi city.
See, I love that. Again, that's one of my favourites. I really, really liked that Ironbright.
Yeah, I think, again, that's more personal preference of historical things and that sort of time period, but Colin Baker was still great, and it was probably a very good script.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think the problem with TV was it was a lot of stuff. It was interesting, actually, talking about Resurrection of the Daleks recently. We talked about Tegan's last story before her return. And what struck me was just how violent, how grim it was. And I think there were these kind of themes, the move to hard sci-fi, but also a slightly grittier, more violent, more less inviting Doctor Who started to kind of really appear in the Fifth Doctor era, and I mean that fully translated into the Sixth Doctor. And I quite like the idea of the Sixth Doctor as kind of going back to that grumpy old man mentality. But when the world of Doctor Who was so grim and so nasty and so violent, having a Doctor that was also like that was probably what made the TV stuff so kind of hard to engage with and hard to like. I mean, I do like some of the Sixth Doctor TV stuff, but it's certainly not my favourite era. Whereas the Big Finish stuff, you're right, he's a warmer character. There's a lot more kind of energy to Colin Baker's performance. You can tell he's having a really good time at Big Finish. And, you know, there's some lovely stories. And the companions he has, not just Flip and Constance. You know, when you look at these companions, and Mel, for example, appearing, you're seeing them, hearing them, a Big Finish, and there's some really kind of fun, warm dynamics between them as well.
I think it really helps that Colin Baker got to take the reins a bit more, do what he wanted, and I think a lot of people attribute, like, the warmer evolution of his character to his dynamic with Evelyn, who, she was introduced in the Sixth Doctor Who story Big Finish did, and she definitely mellows him over time. So, yeah. Lastly, then, before we get into the individual sort of eras of him with the companions and stuff, where would you put the Sixth Doctor in your ranking of the Doctors?
Tough one. From a TV point of view, quite low. And I find him quite hard to engage with. But I would probably rank him higher than, say, maybe Blasphemous a bit higher, maybe Peter Davison, who I find is nice, but a bit of a... He's a bit too more of a wet fish doctor for me, a bit wet fish character. I like a bit more gumption. And the Sixth Doctor certainly has gumption. So I don't know I don't have a specific number that I'd rank him in, but I would say he's towards the bottom end on TV, but very much like Paul McGann's Eighth Doctor. If I'm looking at what Big Finish releases coming up, I want to look at, if it's Paul McGann or Colin Baker, they're generally top of my list because he is so good at a bit of the Big Finish stuff that, I mean, he's certainly higher. So, but based on TV, very low. I think based on overall, when you include the Big Finish stuff, he's a bit more middle ground for me.
Fair enough. In my ranking, he's fourth.
Very high for you then.
Yeah, he's in the top five along with Troughton, McGann, Smith and Capaldi. So, yeah, I really, really love the Sixth Doctor. I never even hated him on TV either, which I think helped. But then to see, like, the work he has done in Big Finish, and I've read one or two books with Sixie, and I have a few more, and some of the comics. It's really nice to just see him as a character and the growth he has. He's one of those very few Doctors that really does seem to grow over time, along with, like, Hartnell and Capaldi. It's very much the ones who start quite grumpy and sort of cold get warmer over time.
Yeah.
And yeah, he also has a lot of great dynamics with pretty much everyone he's with, like, to the point where Colin Baker on Big Finish, he's played quite a few characters who are on the Sixth Doctor. Like, recently he's played an alternative War Doctor, he played sort of an alternative Universe Corrupted Sixth Doctor in the Gallifrey series, and I know he's done a couple more things like that.
Yeah, there's lots of really, really good stuff. What was the first Big Finish you ever listen to with Colin Baker?
It would be my first Big Finish ever, The Light at the End, because I had Tom Baker, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy and Paul McGann.
Yeah, the 50th anniversary special, that's a good one.
And he's great in that. If I was to try and go solo Colin Baker one, I'm not entirely sure. It's probably, I think it's a choice between one of the really early main ranges, something like Vortex, Ice, Cortex Fire, or it might have been, depending on when around I got it, Jadoon in Chains in the classic Doctor's New Monster Box set, because I got that around, yeah, I don't remember, I'm trying to remember if this was before we started getting the Big Finish.
The Classic Doctor's New Monsters Volume 2, wasn't it?
That was Volume 1.
Oh, Volume 1, yeah.
Colin Baker and Paul McGann are actually the only two Doctors to appear in all four sets, because they seem to be announced for set 4 against the Silence and the Clockwork Robots. So.
Yeah, there's some good stuff, actually. I think it was probably one of the earliest ones you watched. For me, actually...
First Colin Baker I watched, actually, is probably Two Doctors, because I think that was the only one we had on DVD at the time, and then I bought all the others.
Yeah, I think Big Finish for me, because when I started going back looking into classic Doctor Who several years ago, having got into it through the TV movie and the new revival series, I think it may have been Revelation of the Daleks was my first story, which is pretty much one of his best ones. So I started off kind of fairly strong with the TV and then kind of explored some of the weaker ones. I think Big Finish, though, actually, again, it was a recommendation from T. Dave Velasquez, who was on this a few episodes ago talking to the Cybermen. And he was, well, I've known for years, and is a massive Doctor Who fan. He lent me Davros. Which is a great, great story.
Yeah, I've listened to that one now. It's great to have Colin Baker and Terry Molloy face off like that.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, actually, you getting into Big Finish, because I remember from a really early age, you had the CD of The Fearmonger just lying around in it, and it had never been opened until I wanted to listen to it.
Well, I think with the Big Finish, it was kind of, I mean, like for lots of fans, I think Big Finish is something you get into the, particularly into Class Dot 2, and then you find, you want to find more stories of them. I think when you were really young, I'm thinking now, I was watching the Rossi Davis era of Dot 2 at the time. And soon we will be again, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was at that point when I wanted to go back and kind of look at some of the classic stuff. Obviously, T-Day had recommended so many of these. And I started with Curse of Fenric, as I mentioned before, because that was the one I remember from my childhood. I think I then did Journey to the Daleks and Periods of Mars, went with some all-time classics, and then started working through. So for quite a while, I was watching brand new Doctor Who for me, which was always classic Doctor Who, and then getting to John Pertwee, which I loved, and then going to the Black and White era. So it was quite a while before I got into Big Finish, because I hadn't really experienced enough of the TV Doctor Who before I got there. But obviously, once we got into Big Finish, and now having watched, for me, you've watched everything. I've watched almost everything. There are some stories still to watch, which I like. There's more stories I still want to get into. Going into Big Finish now, it's like just expanding, and that's what Big Finish does. It expands on the world of Doctor, and you get so many great new stories, and particularly Sixth Doctor. What I love about the Sixth Doctor is he didn't get that much time on TV. There's not that many stories, if you really count Trial of Time Lord as one big story,
I tend to count it as four stories with, like, overarching, but...
But yeah, they're kind of a bit of both, but they're kind of very much linked. So he only really had one proper, kind of traditional Doctor season. So I think going into Big Finish with the talent of the writers, you know, Chris Chapman certainly, but just the talent of the writers on Big Finish is phenomenal, and the stories they're giving him, so it moves away from this kind of just kind of grim, often violent, often hostile Doctor Who, which isn't particularly inviting. I can't imagine we've been that particularly inviting for young viewers as well, to a world that feels very vibrant and very alive, and that's what I love about it. So yeah, going to Big Finish, particularly with the Sixth Doctor, and finding a redemption for him, finding stories are actually great stories. I don't think he has a classic on TV, sadly. All other Doctors, I think, have one or two where you go, yeah, they will be easily in a top 10 or top 20 Doctor Who. I'm not sure Colin Baker really has that on TV, sadly, because there's a sheer amount of great stories out there. But when you get into the Big Finish, no, there are some truly tremendous stories. Some of the best stuff being produced at Big Finish is featuring Colin Baker's Doctor.
I'd argue if you want to go classic on TV, it's probably, like, most generally accepted would probably be Revelation or Vengeance on Varos.
They're quite good. I mean, I meant before, and we had the whole discussion previously, I'm very fond of Terror of the Vervoids. But
I love that one.
Yeah,
too.
I love that. But it's I don't think there is a Sixth Doctor TV episode that I would put in my top 20 Doctor Who stories of TV. Possibly not even in top 30. There's some good stuff there, as I said, but I think there's so much greater stuff. I don't think the TV has a classic, whereas Big Finish, I think, is a different matter.
Yeah, he has loads of really good stories on Big Finish. It's why it's so hard to pick a favourite from him, but as I said before, the middle definitely gets it.
Constance Clark, how do you do?
Name?
Charlotte Pollard.
Miss Philippa Jackson.
After you, Miss Bush.
The Doctor saves the day again.
My name is Yardvale. Mr. Timothy Yardvale.
Please open the door.
It's a trick. He's lying.
How do you know?
No. What? No. No!
Werewolves?
Werewolves, surely.
You'll have it your way. The point is, werewolves on wheels.
Werewolves in uniform? Werewolves in hoods?
Someone is sending a message. A very personal message. To me.
He's saving us. Come on, keep going.
Who's saving us?
Where are we going?
Come in, please. Oh, he's just taken a lump out of one of... Doctor, for goodness sake, just...
Mel! Mel, is that you?
Doctor?
You've only got 3 minutes left now.
3 minutes? 3 minutes to save my life. But the Valiard is a distillation of all my negative impulses. The simple fact is that I'm a Time Lord who's out of time.
So, what you were saying there nicely segues us into our first topic of discussion in Companions, really. I thought we'd start chronologically, so which that would be Perry. So what you were saying before about Sixth Doctor only really having one traditional season on TV, obviously season 23 was hijacked into being Trial of a Time Lord, but what it originally was going to be in those scripts have been translated to Big Finish in the Lost stories. And I've heard the entirety of the first series, and there's a couple of others later down the line in the series which I haven't heard yet. Because the first series is entirely free on Spotify. So it really does feel very Sixth Doctor-y on TV compared to the Big Finish stuff, I think. Because a lot of them, they got the original writers back to adapt. So stuff like Nightmare Fair, Mission to Magnus, Hollows of Time, don't really like. They don't have a great reputation anyway. They feel like one of the more lackluster ones from there. But then there are a few, like, really surprising good ones, including, like, The Macro is one I really like, which is actually written by the woman, I forget her character's name, but she's the one who, like, karate kicks the Murker and gets electrocuted in Warriors
of
the Deep.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and there's also The Song of Magaptra, which seems to have been a story trying to be in development since the Tom Baker years, which basically they just shut down fully in the Colin Baker era, but that got adapted, and that's a really nice story. Apparently, originally, in the Davison era, if it had been done, it was going to introduce Turlough, and he would have been living inside a giant space whale, so there's that for you.
Okay.
But, yeah. But mostly, Six and Perry's dynamic on Big Finish overall does feel a lot nicer. Can sometimes still be a bit abrasive, because you don't want to just do a complete 180 on the character without mellowing him down, and obviously Evelyn comes after Perry. But Six and Perry still have a really nice dynamic on Big Finish, I'd say.
So yeah, kind of close to what we're starting to see, really, with the beginning of Trial of a Time Lord stuff.
Yeah.
When they'd mellowed.
Yeah, I've seen it more described as more 12 and Clara than, like, season 22 kind of bickering.
Yeah. I mean, what I've seen more of the later stuff. I've listened to more of the later stuff. I think my first Perry and Sixth Doctor story was probably Memories of a Tyrant, and that which came out in 2019. And then obviously there was Embassy of the Dalek, which I love. That's another story I really love, actually, is Embassy of the Daleks.
I wasn't a huge fan of that one overall, but
okay. And Harry Houdini's War.
That was a really good
one. That's a really good one, yeah. Really great stuff, and particularly as well, the Christmas one they did, Blood on Santa's Claw and Other Stories. It was a whole set of mini Christmas stories with the Sixth Doctor and Perry, which were just a joy to listen to.
Yeah, and they had, like, their sort of new companion in there, which I won't say any more about him, because there's nice surprises to go in with him. But yeah, they've got that really nice dynamic. And I recently listened to The Reaping, which is a more early main range, and it's a very unusual story. Like, it is very grim and quite depressing to listen to, but not in a sort of violent way season 22 was. Like, it's just, it's very mature as a story, and set entirely in America as well. It gives a lot of Perry backstory, which is nice. But yeah, it definitely has some sort of unique feel to it. But it's a really, really good story, and the ending is brilliant. But yeah, that's one of the ones that really furthers their dynamic as characters and really grows them.
Yeah, it's definitely a kind of the experience of traveling together really starts to shine in those Big Finish stories, certainly. And Nicola Bryant is good. I mean, again, I don't know if maybe... Obviously, people aren't going to sound exactly like they did on TV.
I think this ain't war with Nick. Not that she sounds maybe a little bit older, but actually, I kind of find that there's this, almost like a nasal harshness to her, kind of maybe a whininess that comes across on TV that can be kind of a bit irritating. In the same way that I guess Tegan could be quite abrasive, but I think and quite whiny sometimes, particularly in her earlier stuff, and starts to mellow. I don't think Perry really got a chance to do that. But on the Big Finish side, there's a maturity to Perry. I don't think it's just in the actress's voice, but I think in actually generally the performance and the writing as well, you see a much more mature Perry, and you see that kind of fonder dynamic of two characters who have travelled through time and space together. They had this shared history, and I think the ones I've listened to, certainly that certainly shines through.
Obviously some characters will just naturally sound older. It's like, what, 50 years since they were playing the part on TV? The late Deborah Watling was a great example of that. She did not really sound like she did on TV as Victoria. It was really hard for her to get back to the sort of younger area. And like Davison himself as well, he does sound a lot more almost gravelly in tone compared to TV. So
it is weird, actually, and I'm thinking of wider mediums, particularly some of the animated stuff on TV where they've got old characters back. I think last year we were watching What If, the Marvel series, and I know that some of the characters have basically been recast. They couldn't get the original actors back. So, you know, sometimes they didn't quite, like Black Widow was a different actress, and I think Lake Bell played her, and it was slightly different before. It was good enough for the character Black Widow, but it sounds slightly differently. And then there were some characters where I was convinced they had a new actor playing them, and it was the original actor from TV, and they sounded completely different. And recently, I know you don't watch it, Lower Decks, Star Trek animated series, they had a wonderful episode where they travelled to Deep Space Nine recently. And Deep Space Nine is my favourite Star Trek series, and they had Kira and Quark in it as well. I'm probably slightly spoilery for that. But Nana Vista, who played Kira, sounded exactly like she did 30 years ago. Armin Shimmer, and I've actually spoken to Armin Shimmer in person, I've actually interviewed Armin Shimmer in person, so I know what he sounds like now. Listen to his Quark. I was convinced they were different. I was like, why haven't they brought Armin Shimmer back? And they had, but they just, his voice sounded really different on the animation compared to the TV. And I think sometimes with Big Finish as well, you get characters played by the original actors, but obviously time has changed, people's voices do change as well, and sometimes even, you know, maybe even when it's like less, like Marvel for example, there was actually less time between the kind of on-screen stuff and the animation, or in the case of the audio, even when sometimes there is less of a gap, sometimes the voice in isolation does sound quite different to what we saw on TV.
Yeah, I mean, again, like Eccleston's a recent example. He doesn't sound like really, really different, but I think when I first heard him, Big Finish, I was like, oh, well, he sounds a bit different to how he did before, but then I think gradually over time he fell back into that voice. Yeah, he gushes about DS9 a lot. nothing new. He probably does on other podcasts, he does, to be honest.
Well, I don't do a DS9 podcast. Maybe one day I do a Star Trek Next Generation podcast, but I do my Babylon 5 podcast, and Babylon 5 is where I gush about.
Yeah, he also does that. God, if I started you on another podcast now,
No.
Mum's going to hate me.
Maybe I'll get you on a podcast where you watch DS9 properly. Maybe I should. I tried Babylon 5, that didn't work. You know, anyway, yeah, we have Doctor Who, don't we?
Yeah. So we've kind of covered Six and Perry. I think,
what's your favourite Six Doctor and Perry Big Finish story then?
Oh, yeah, that's a point. I really do like Memories of Tyrant and Harry Houdini's War. I found they were really...
They are great. They are great, great stories.
I also love the first Sontarans from the Lost Stories range, and Leviathan was also really good. I've mentioned the Macro, Song of Megaptra. But I think overall, it's quite a recent one, honestly, but Plight of the Pimpernel.
Yeah, I was thinking that one.
Oh, look, another Chris Chapman story. You can see a theme here.
Yes. Now, I really, really like Plight of the Pimpernel. Actually, I think my favourite is Emissary of the Daleks, which is one of your less favourable ones. But yeah, I think they're all great. And of course, again, Blood on Santa's Claw is just a great collection of stories too. Mm.
And something else I really love about Plight of the Pimpernel as well is it's meant to sort of be that gap between 22 and 23 in season. So they deliberately have some of that more abrasive side of the Sixth Doctor there. Not all of it, because he is starting to calm down, but you definitely still get to see that a bit with him and Perry in that, because of when it's set, and that's quite almost quite nice to see that be done in and amongst all the sort of calmer stuff we have with him these days.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, next companion he had chronologically, which was the first Big Finish one he had. Not the first one on Big Finish, because Perry did have a story before she arrived. But Evelyn? Now, I'm not sure how much you've listened to of Evelyn.
I was thinking of Evelyn. I'm not sure I remember ever listening to an Evelyn story.
Yeah, I just finished listening to them all, bar that one companion chronicle she did and the real-time adaptation.
Is that Maggie Staples?
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, her second story has the Brigadier in it, so... And actually, her third story is Romano and the Daleks, so she gets around. But yeah, Evelyn and the Sixth Doctor, they're like this really specific, almost like how Six has loads of really nice friends he travels with, Evelyn almost feels like his really best friend. Like, because she's a lot older as a character, she has more, I don't know, maturity, wisdom behind her, which really helps to mellow out the Sixth Doctor over time. And she's rarely got a bad story in there. Like, she met Mel in one of them. She met the Seventh Doctor in one story as well. And, like, she kind of ties it... Well, not kind of. She does tie into the whole, like, Hex arc, which gets a bit over the place in the Seventh Doctor, but it's a brilliant, satisfying conclusion in Death in the Family. But I don't think you can ever go wrong listening to Colin Baker and Maggie Staples together, Six and Evelyn. It's definitely, if you ask a fan of early Big Finish, possibly what their favourite Doctor and companion team is, it's possible Six and Evelyn will be what they say.
Wow. I think I definitely need to... it's definitely a gap there in my listening, so I need to check those out.
Yeah, I mean, you can see some on Spotify, I'm sure. T-Day has some.
Yeah.
I think we've probably bought some, but...
So what is the best story of Evelyn then?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, overall I'd say A Death in the Family, because that's brilliant, but that's her and Seven, and that's more not really because Evelyn's there, it's something else. Doctor Who and the Pirates is one people really love, and I can see why. It's surprisingly dark as well as a story, but you get Colin Baker singing, so, you know, that's where very model of a Gallifreyan Buccaneer comes from, so always iconic. Part 3 is basically a musical. A lot of her early stuff is great. I really like Spectre of Lanyon Moore. Marion Conspiracy is really good, especially considering I'm not a huge fan of pure historicals. I really like that one. The Nowhere Place is a really underrated story with her in it. I quite like Crimes of Thomas Brewster. I'm probably going to list a load of the Evelyn ones now. I sometimes forget all of the ones she has because she's in a lot of his early output. But yeah, as I said, she gets around quite a lot. She's in like Apocalypse Element and Thicker Than Water. Arrangements for War, that's a really good one. It ends really... It's quite bleak as a story, but it's really nice. Even if Evelyn's timeline does feel a bit weird in terms of when does she actually leave, because she doesn't really have a leaving story. They just pop forward to when she has left and you see her leaving in the flashbacks, but it all does make sense in the long run. I'm trying to think if there's any you would have heard with Evelyn.
No, I'm not sure. I was going through them just now looking for the Big Finish. So I don't think I have. I think that's where my gap on the Sixth Doctor. I'm looking at, say, I listened to Davros. I listened to The Light at the End. I think my first more regular listening of the Sixth Doctor was actually Vortex Ice, Cortex Fire, which has Lisa Greenwood then as Flip, and that was my first experience of listening to Flip too.
Yeah, and that's kind of when we started getting our Big...
That's when we started reviewing Big Finish, didn't we, as well?
Yeah,
so
well,
really
technically we started the month before, but yeah, that was our first Sixth Doctor one. I get pedantic with these things. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard any Evelyn, like, talking to the listeners here directly, listen to my voice. There's a load of hers on Spotify. You can get pretty much most of hers is in the first 100, and they're all really cheap. Have you listened to 100, like the anthology one?
No, you keep recommending that. I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, go and listen to that. Yeah, that's got some lovely Evelyn stuff. But yeah, basically, listen to Evelyn.
Yeah.
No, not Evelyn, Evelyn. Also, hey, her and the Brigadier.
Absolutely. I think that's the one I'm going to check out first, actually.
Yeah, and then there's Apocalypse Element, Her, Romana and the Daleks. Not a great story, very much ties into sort of starting off the Gallifrey series, but Yeah, hey, Evelyn gets to go to Gallifrey on like a third trip.
That's not bad, yeah. So she's a slightly more mature companion then.
Yeah, she's the one who really, I guess you'd attribute to Six calming down as a doctor.
Right.
She really, like, because he will say stuff like, oh no, he gets really angry at people sometimes, and Evelyn will be like, hold on a minute, Doctor, like, be calmer about this. This is out of order.
In the existence of X-Files podcasts, then the truth is in here. I'm Tony.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Carl.
And I'm R. Muldrake.
And the X-Cast is devoted to all things X-Files, such as in-depth episode discussions.
I love the 8th season being like, no, you're saying goodbye. And that's something pop culture doesn't do enough.
Interviews with many of the cast and crew from the show.
I had to audition repeatedly. I mean, I read for Chris and Frank, I read for the casting director, Rick, and then I made it past that hurdle and read for Chris and Frank, had a lovely meeting with them.
And special roundtable chats, commentaries, and fun bonus episodes.
But this is great, Mulder just having no idea what's going on.
On this beautiful boat with people not really speaking English.
You can find us on the We Made This podcast network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all good podcast players.
We'll see you in the basement. But until then,
trust
no
one.
Next up then, Wise, I mean, Thomas Brewster travels with him a bit. He's there with Evelyn. He's not grey. He's like a Victorian street urchin. Quite annoying. Does meet Axos, though. Frobisher, he doesn't have loads. He has, like, two big Finnish stories. Holy Terror by Rob Sherman, which, yep, that is utterly brilliant. And Maltese Penguin, which I haven't listened to.
Right.
But, obviously, they cast someone for Frobisher. He works really well with the Sixth Doctor. He's quite on and off in the dynamic, because, like, mainly in the comics, and like sometimes Perry's there, sometimes Perry's not, and it's all a bit. But yeah, listen to The Holy Terror, that's on Spotify. I guess the next main big one would be Flip, because she kind of started just as they retired Evelyn, because Maggie Staples died, sadly, in 2014, I believe, although her last stories were released in 2011, I want to say. Flip actually started in one of the Evelyn ones. Kind of like how Donna like started in The Runaway Bride and then came back a bit later.
Oh, right.
She starts in The Crime of Thomas Brewster and then starts getting The Curse of Davros, which coincidentally I've been listening to today. And yeah, I haven't really heard much of solo Flip, because you don't really get that much.
No, I mean, my experience is that is a Vortex Ice Cortex Fire.
Yeah, you get that, but other than that, like, in her time as companion, you get 6 solo ones with her. I think that's it. Mm. You get Curse of Davros, Fourth Wall, Wyvern Isle, Antidote to Oblivion, Brood of Eris, and Scavenger. And I think those are the only.
So, which ones would you say is the best? Before we get into Constance, then, what's the best of that kind of solo Flip stories?
I mean, I have not listened to that area yet.
I'm
like, as of today, I'm embarking. So that Curse of Davros is pretty good so far. I hear Fourth Wall's quite good, and I mean, it's a John Dorney script, so you should be guaranteed something nice. Antidote to Oblivion is Syl, but it also has Philip Martin and some of the weird obsession he has with turning companions into horrific things. Wyvern Isle, I don't hear is great. I never hear much about Brood of Eris and Scavenger, but they're probably good, I guess. I don't know. Thumbs up here. Flip. She is good as a character. Like, on her own, she's quite nice. Although, her dynamic with Constance, I think, is where it really gets
good. Yeah, definitely. That's my favourite big Finnish dynamic. I'm probably jumping ahead here, but yeah. Flip, Constance, the Sixth Doctor. I think if I could ever write a big Finnish story, I would want to write a Sixth Doctor, Constance, and Flip story.
We just have to wait for Lisa Greenwood's long COVID to...
Sadly.
So... Constance, obviously, she came next. She started off solo for a bit, and then Flip joins. Although, recently with Constance, you've gotten a lot of releases which are delving back into the solo Six and Constance, probably because of Lisa Greenwood's COVID. She can't record. So they're dipping back. Like, recently we've had The 11, that box set, in 2021.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was, like, set before... Their appearance in End of the Beginning technically is actually during Flip's time with them as well, but they, like, there's a line, like, she's in a space hospital somewhere, so that's how they do that. But, yeah, she has a story in The Last Adventure, which... The big final Sixth Doctor box set.
Yeah.
Which, coincidentally, that story was technically Constance's first released one. Wasn't meant to be, but scheduling meant it was. So she debuts there before she first pops up in the main range, like a month later or so. And again, of those main range ones, I haven't really heard any of them. Because this was like just before we started getting... Big Finish.
Yeah, so our experience of them together. So Flip is played by Lisa Greenwood. She is a kind of very modern companion, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like from modern day London. At this point, like...
She's a very new Who companion, basically.
Yeah, her stories were first released in like 2011, 2012. She's around from that time period.
They are very different characters. So to compare her to other characters, probably a disservice. But she's kind of... She feels more like a Rose character.
Yeah, I can see that. She's kind of like Rose with the... some Dawn-ness, but without like really snarkiness. She's quite excitable.
She's very forthright, though, isn't she?
Yeah, but she could also... She has really good emotional moments as well. Scorched Earth, she goes through quite a bit, I seem to remember.
Yes, definitely.
Lovecraft Invasion as well. Yeah. I don't remember much of the Behemoth. I wasn't a great fan, but again, pure historicals.
I think it's a great historical, but yeah. What about Constance then? Because Miranda Raisin plays Constance. I think she is wonderful in this.
Yeah, she's great. Turns out she's actually in a few Big Finishes beforehand, including one story with Colin Baker, but this was before Constance, and she does her Tallulah accent at one point because she was in Daleks in Manhattan.
She was, wasn't she?
Took me ages to realise that was her, but she used the Tallulah accent in that story.
Yeah, so Constance,
she's like World War II Wren kind of.
That's it. Yeah, she's a bit more of a historical character. As we go into it, I like the dynamic between Flip and Constance. Kind of Flip being like the younger sister to Constance, and their dynamic, and Flip being modern, a modern companion, Constance being a little bit of a historical companion, not too far in the past, but enough that there's a different perspective as well.
Yeah, which is why, like, when you get a story like Scorched Earth, which is like V-Day, you get a lot of good stuff for Constance there as well, because obviously she's from like 44, I want to say.
Yeah, she's basically plucked out the middle of the World War II, isn't she?
Yeah, by the Doctor. There's like a phoenix egg or something, I think, that happens. But yeah, I think three of them, their dynamic is... one of the best of latter Big Finish. Like, as I've mentioned, I love the middle, and that does separate them, but they still really good. Like, they really work in their own environment.
So remind me of the middle. The middle, I remember really enjoying it. You rave about the middle.
Yeah, I listen to it often. That's the one with, like, the sort of separating the ages, like the beginning, the middle, and then the end with, like, their metal suits versus the Horde.
Yeah, it's obviously Flip and Constance being different ages as well.
You get Constance's birthday, but, like, she's very more reserved about it. Like, very much that typical, it's my birthday, that's fine. Yeah. I don't want to celebrate it. And Flip's all like, no, we need to celebrate a party. And it's...
Yeah, the Behemoth is a really interesting one as well. I mean, I know you weren't a fan of it.
I remember bits of it. That's like the slave trade one, isn't it?
It's a slave trade, yeah. It's set in Bath in 1756 with this this rhinoceros as well.
Clara, the rhinoceros.
It's based on actual real events as well. And again, I like that Big Finish, because it's so broad, can dip into actually doing the pure stuff. In a way, I don't think... Doc 2 on TV will ever probably be brave enough to do a proper pure historical. I think the closest we probably should have got was Demons of the Punjab. I think that didn't need the alias, and that would have worked perfectly.
Rosa, again, almost was.
Yeah, again, both of those you could have done as pure historicals with just something tweaking it in the behind the scenes.
Yeah, say like Rosa, it was like the TARDIS landing, which caused things to go off a bit, and then...
Yeah, and the aliens don't really impact Demons of the Punjab. So both of those... could have been pure historicals, but I don't think Doctor is ever really going to go down that route again on TV. But I like how Big Finish do it, and the Behemoth is a really good example of that.
Yeah, like, Big Finish should be doing pure historicals since they started, to be honest. Their first one was Marion Conspiracy, actually, their sixth ever Doctor Who story. So I think they do them to this day. I'm trying to remember the last one they did. It was fairly recent, I think. But yeah, slight tangent as well, considering we've mentioned Demons of the Punjab, but obviously we're recording this a day before Power of the Doctor, and I really kind of want the Thajarians to pop up when she's regenerating, because it seems she'll regenerate alone. I think that would be quite a nice callback to have them, like, watch over those who...
That would be interesting. I mean, it's very timey-wimey for us as a podcaster.
This something I've wanted to see, basically, since Demons of the Punjab. Like, if she regenerates alone, they watch over those who die alone. So, you know.
That'd be cool. Obviously, we were recording this before. It's going to go after our review of Power of the Doctor.
Yeah, we haven't even watched Power of the Doctor yet. So,
Yes.
Anyway, back to this. Static is a really good one.
Static is magnificent. It is so creepy. It is a really, really good kind of... probably Doctor Who ghost story Taiwan. It's the in the caravan park, isn't it? When the voice is coming through the radio. Yeah, it's...
The one thing I wish they did do, like, I don't quite know how to phrase this because it could be a spoiler for the story, but something happens in Static.
Yes.
And when you get the next trilogy, which as of yet is the last one because of Lisa Greenwood, Cry of the Vultress, Scorched Earth and Lovecraft Invasion, they don't really touch upon the impact of that, which I kind of wish they had. I mean, people who've listened to Static, you'll probably understand what I mean by this, but I feel there's something they could have done with it, and hopefully later down the line they might.
Yeah.
And I know the Static have returned as well. They were in a unit story against Kate and Osgood.
Ah.
And Josh, he was there.
They were really good kind of villain of sorts for audio.
Yeah, although don't overuse them, which is why I think having them in the unit sequel, that's all you need now. We don't need to see them again.
Yeah, definitely.
One companion I forgot to mention, which, crucify me, go on, Charlie.
Yes, and I've listened to quite a few Eighth Doctor and Charlie.
I've listened to all of them. In fact, I've listened to all the Sixth Doctor and Charlie recently.
Yeah,
all I've got left is the Return of the Croton special one and her spin-off, which I have no interest in, unless the Eighth Doctor pops up, which is rumoured. They'll get the reunion, finally.
Yeah. And we've talked about India Fisher's Charlie quite a lot, haven't we? We did a whole episode last year on the Eighth Doctor Big Finish.
Yes.
For our Christmas special last year, we actually looked at The Chimes of Midnight with India Fisher and Paul McGann as well. But I know that after the Eighth Doctor, she trails with the Sixth, which is, I guess, a very kind of timey-wimey itself.
Oh, that's basically the whole crux of, like, the mini-arc. She can't really tell him anything.
Yeah, but I haven't listened to those stories. So what is she like? I know what she's like with the Eighth Doctor, and they've got a very kind of close relationship. What is she like with the Sixth?
She is very much the same, but she's like quite careful, and sometimes she'll slip up. Like when she first goes in the TARDIS with the Sixth Doctor, and she's like, oh, it's a bit different. Oh, I mean, good lord, it's bigger on the inside. For example, because she's more used to the cathedral console room. And like... little stuff like that, like pretending not to know the Daleks or not letting slip. Because the main crux of that is she doesn't want to let slip what happens in her last adventure with the Eighth Doctor, because she thinks he's permanently died in that. Which is why, like, a reunion between them, which has sort of been semi-confirmed for a third series of her spin-off, would be really nice to see, like, Eight and Charlie realising they're not dead, they're fine.
That's good.
But yeah, and you get another companion briefly, Mila, who... I don't want to spoil Mila, but she's kind of been a presence around we've never seen since The Chase.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, she's, like, vital in kind of fixing it. And there's, like, one of the stories, Brotherhood of the Daleks, obviously, has, like, the Daleks, they recognise Charlie. And then the Doctor is all like, what? How did this happen? And Charlie's really scared it all come out. But by the end, the Doctor just assumes, oh, it's an encounter we haven't had yet. But I think it is meant to infer it is them recognising Charlie from an encounter with the Eighth Doctor, when we haven't seen, I don't think, or heard.
Okay.
But, like... And it's, like, little stuff like that. But, obviously, the Sixth Doctor, being the Sixth Doctor, he does get suspicious and he, like, interrogates and questions her, but...
Do they manage to find a way that it means the Eighth Doctor doesn't recognise her?
Yes, they do.
Right.
And also, they also do give satisfying to... Does Charlie ever... Like, does the Doctor ever know what happened? They do a satisfying way of getting around that as well.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's good.
And then there's Mila, as I said. She's also basically really started the Viren's arc as well, which is like a huge thing in her Charlie spin-off. Daleks are there a few times, actually. I think they're there twice, and you get Menzies twice as well. She's a great character. I love Menzies. She's in The Condemned, Crimes of Thomas Brewster, Raincloud Man, and Avenues of Possibility, which you've probably listened to. That's the Legacy of Time one, with Six and Charlie and Menzies.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and the Sirens of Time are there.
So I have listened to a Sixth Doctor and Charlie there, yeah.
So, yeah, and obviously that one's kind of a bit hard to get Garner with their arc, because Time Shenanigan, she does tell him, but then he, like, forgets because of the sirens and it's all... But yeah, so yeah, they have a really nice mini arc, actually, and he also turns out he meets Menzies out of order. Yeah, and then I guess the last companion, really, I mean, he has a few occasional ones which we'll get into, but like Mel, obviously.
Yeah.
Go to the end. Go to Melanie Bush.
Again, who is better served on Big Finish? I've listened to a couple with the Sixth Doctor, but really my experience is with the Seventh Doctor and Ace and Mel all thrown together in Big Finish, which is quite a good dynamic as well.
Yeah, I really like that. Like, Six, they don't have a huge amount. They're mainly the crux of the current Big Finish output with Six, like, because they've revamped the monthly range recently, and Jacqueline Rayner's doing a great job with it. They've got Hebe Harrison, like, she's new and around, so that's really nice. And like the dynamic between Six, Hebe, and Mel's really fun to listen to. Currently, we're on a big cliffhanger in between box sets. But yeah, you don't get a huge amount of Six and Mel overall. Like, she appears in quite a few early ones. Like, she's in The One Doctor, which is a brilliant comedy story. She's in The Juggernaut, which is like Mechanoids, Davros, Daleks. That's another great one. There's Thicker Than Water, which has Evelyn. Oh, there's one in particular I'm thinking of, and I keep forgetting which one it is. There's one in Catch 1782, which, like, no one ever talks about. And it's such a weird, unique kind of Doctor Who story. Like, there isn't a threat in it. There is no danger.
Yeah.
Like, basically, the entire villain of the piece, if there is one, is the idea of the Grandfather Paradox. So it's quite a weird story. No one ever really mentions, but I really loved listening to it, honestly. Mm. And yeah, there's the Wishing Beast. But then after around the first 100, you don't get Six and Mel again until like 2013.
Yeah, I think my recent experience has actually been the Mind of the Hodiak, the Ossie Davis script.
Yeah, I mean, 2022, the year of the Sixth Doctor, also could be labelled the year Big Finish remembered Bonnie Langford works for them, because we've had her and Six in Peladon, which they had the weakest story of Peladon, sorry, but this dynamic's still great. You have Hodiak, we have Waterworld, we've had Purity Undreamed, and I think that's all. I think we're actually at the end of the Sixth Doctor, like, this month now. Yeah. October's the first month this year without Colin Baker in the release.
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot, which is great. I mean, the other one, of course, you mentioned as well, the 11, the one that has Miranda Raisin in as well, but also Mark Bonner as the 11 as well, which
is that's constant
truly stuff. One of the best Big Finish villains they've ever created. I love the 11, and having a box with him, with Constance and the Sixth Doctor as well, was a joy to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I prefer the 9 over the 11, but, because we've only seen 4 of them, 8, 9, 11, and 12, but honestly, I think I like them all. 8, you don't really see much of at all, but, you know, he's the nice one. The 12, I didn't love.
Oh, the kind of the old lady. Yeah. The guy.
Although they do infer in the 8th Doctor Time War that maybe the 13 could pop up at some point. I quite like it. The 13 survives a Time War, meets, like, David Tennant or something. That'd be fun. But, yeah, because you get Mel again in 2013 with The Wrong Doctors, which, that's a great one. Have you listened to that one?
I think I have, yes.
That's the one with the 2 6 Doctors in it.
Yes, yes, I have.
Yeah,
yes.
That one's great. Like, very confusing. Also, like, if I remember correctly, like, it's got after Evelyn, like, later Six, who's in the blue coat, goes to get Mel because he decides, yeah, it's time to travel with her, while post-Trava Time Lord Doctor drops her off there. But then they both get entangled as, like, Mel, 2 6 Doctors, and I think by the end, he still doesn't take her with him. He still decides, you know what, actually, I think this is still too early. And it's all a bit weird, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, she has a decent amount of stories with him. Not a huge amount, but also actually thinking about her, she gets, obviously, his final one on Big Finish, because chronologically, that's where she'd be.
Yes.
She doesn't have a huge amount to do in that story. That is very much Six and Valyard.
See, I haven't listened to that one yet. It's one I want to listen to.
Yeah, the Last Adventure.
Last Adventure. How does that tie into the events at the beginning of season 24?
Well, if we just talk about the set as a whole quickly. So the first one is Constance, as I mentioned. It's got the Master in it, but because I don't, obviously they didn't have like John Coleshaw to do impressions at this point, it's like, it is the Ainley Master, but he's like psychically controlling another side character, who, so that person's playing the Master, but it right. is the Ainley Master. Not a great story. The second one has Charlie in it, which is quite nice. It's got some werewolves. And actually, they all do connect to the Valyard. Like, he like, I think in the first one, all he does is pop up and basically tell the Master, no, I want to kill the Doctor. He's got a lot more impact on the second one, like, and the third one with Jago and Lightfoot. Six actually has a lot with Jago and Lightfoot. He's yes. in their spin-off for a couple of series and travels with them a bit. They're great as well. Colin Baker, Christopher Benjamin and Trevor Baxter, they're brilliant as well. Probably better than Tom Baker with them, to be honest. Six fits them more, I think.
Right.
I haven't listened to their spin-off, but I know Leela's there and the Crispy Master's there as well. They don't know it's a Doctor for ages, I think. But yeah, you have them, Six and Flip versus the Valyard, who... This isn't really a spoiler because it's like basically in the episode description, but like for whatever the reasons were, I slightly forget. The Valyard's basically running a theatre and the plays are the regenerations of the first five Doctors.
Right.
So he like recreates Legopolis, recreates Case of Androzani, that kind of thing. Don't remember which ones exactly are created in it, other than Legopolis. I think Planet of the Spiders might be. So yeah, that's really fun, obviously, impacts. And then the final one, yep. Yeah, as I said, it's very much Six and Valyard, but that does tie in quite nicely. It's nothing too big. It's a great story between the two of them, honestly. The stakes are great. Mel doesn't do much. But if we're talking about like how it ties in, really... It's not really important. Well, it kind of is in the resolution. Basically, because of story reasons, and to defeat the Valyard and stuff like surrounding that, he basically has to pilot the TARDIS into those lasers, which he doesn't know they're the Ranis, but he knows they are deadly and will kill him, but he has to do it anyway.
Right. So
he basically sacrifices his sixth regeneration.
By going into the Rani's trap, which sets off yes. the time of the Rani.
So, like, and it sort of intercuts a bit. Like, someone, the Confession Dial, I think, on YouTube's, like, sort of tried to animate it. It's really great. You have, and he gets a lovely regeneration speech, sort of talking about, well, I've had good innings, been great to be the Doctor, and then sort of as he's just fading away, starting to regenerate, he hears the seventh Doctor's voice starting right. to call to him. And like, there is a theory actually that there's like one account, I forget where it is, that one of the many, why did Six regenerate? One is in a book, like he got all his regeneration energy drained or something. But there's one which basically infers the dormant personality of Seven was just too impatient, so he basically just killed the sixth Doctor. I wanted to be born.
I love that. It's great that he, obviously, again, Big Finish doing really good work with the sixth Doctor. They give him that kind of final last hurrah.
Yeah. Of all of the ones, I haven't read the book or anything, but of all the ones, I want to accept the audio because it's Colin Baker.
Mm.
Like, he gets to do it, have his final lines, like...
Well, I remember at we went to a Comic-Con a few years ago where we met Sylvester McCoy and Colin Baker.
Yeah.
And Colin Baker was actually talking about in the Q&A session about that set and how grateful he was to Big Finish. That they basically revived his Doctor and gave him the stories that he deserved.
Yeah, it's why they let Colin Baker sort of take charge, do what he wanted with it, and like sort of guide the stories and the character. And yeah, it's great because like I've got the deluxe like box set edition of The Last Adventure, and there's like loads of little things in it, like including Colin Baker talking about just how grateful he is for the whole thing. And like, it for fans of the Sixth Doctor, it is a very satisfying end, like ties into the Valyard and that kind of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, so it is really nice to have that. The Valyard pops up a few times, actually. There's Trial of the Valyard, which is brilliant, where, like, he's brought back to the space station, and he spends, like, 2 minutes just standing outside in the corridor, like, nope, don't you dare, I am not doing this. And then they basically just... And he's like, nope, I'm going now. But because he's the Doctor, he also gets impatient. He's like, and then just marches and goes, right, why have you brought me here? Come on, spill the beans. And it's like, turns out he has to defend the Valyard on trial.
Right, that's amazing.
And then it part three goes a bit somewhere else, more Doctor origin stuff with the Valyard, which is cool. Yeah, Michael Jason and Colin Baker actually have great dynamics on Big Finish. They had it on TV as well, to be
honest.
They did,
actually, yeah, they really like that.
Yeah, they really like Trial of a Time Lord.
And I love when they brought Jason back for the Time War set with Paul McGann as
yes,
well.
Yes, he's great in that. There's also the Unbound he jests at Scars, which is like, what if the Valyard had killed the Sixth Doctor? And it ends really, really sort of depressingly. Like, he accidentally, in the TARDIS, accidentally kills the Fourth Doctor on his way to Legopolis, and he's doing all sorts. Mel's just out for vengeance. She's just gonna, yeah, she's just gonna shoot him. Mel actually kills a lot of people. She's quite scary. Apparently, she has the intelligence to create the Daleks. That's confirmed in the Juggernaut. So, right. Mel could have been Davros.
With big hair and carrot juice.
Yeah, it's great. He doesn't get that as his last line. Carrot juice. Because like recently, the Doctor Who Twitter account had been doing a poster each day for like up until the Power of the Doctor with each Doctor's last words, and with six they went carrot juice because I was his last one on TV.
Yeah.
Really, like, and basically the replies were just filled with and then just put like the Big Finch one. It's something like yes, I will regenerate, my future is in safe hands.
That's a great file line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I guess, just sort of the other bits and bobs he has around, like there's a few one-off companions, like he travels with Jamie, but older Jamie for a bit in, I'm not sure how much to say about the entire arc of that, but Zoe's in the last one, and there's Cybermen and the Titanic, and they go back to Scotland, and there's like weird leech creature. Yeah, he has a few solo stuff, and some of his solo stuff's really good, like
yes,
Lure of the Nomad. I really like,
it's a great story.
Actually,
though,
Six has quite a few companions who are just there and we never see them join him. They're just like one off. He's been travelling with for a while and they're just in one story.
Well, Lore the Nomad is the fake companion, isn't it? The new brand new companion that isn't actually a companion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. The twist in that. What I really love, like,
As I say, I wish that character had been a bit more to make that twist have more impact.
Yeah. And I still got really impacted, but what I found really surprisingly worked was when they did such a similar twist two stories later in Hour of the Cybermen, but because you'd seen this character before, had even more of an impact.
It did.
But it was like, they had the audacity to basically do this twist twice in the same trilogy of stories, and it worked both times. Like, that is impressive.
It did. Actually, yeah, we talk about this brand new unit team they created, and this was the middle one. And actually, I wasn't too fond of the first one, but this one, The Hour of the Cybermen was a great story. I love, again, another one of my favourite Sixth Doctor stories.
They also, I don't like the Seventh Doctor one they did either. Basically, the Sixth Doctor one's the only good one. Seven is Klein, though. But yeah, and also, Hour of the Cybermen, they got David Banks back to be the Cybermen.
Yes.
Which, that is brilliant.
So yeah, that was good. And the Hunting Ground as well was another one.
I love that one. That one I really love. Like, that's like police procedural kind of dramas with the Sixth Doctor.
Yeah, a Nordic Scandi, yeah, kind of crime drama.
They're
starting
to be one of my new favourite genres. Like, all the ones in Menzies, like Avenues of Possibility, Condemned, Raincloud Man, and then Hunting Ground. All that kind of genre really works for the Sixth Doctor, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, he talked about fairies and trolls, and there's huntings and giant wolves and conspiracies about dead fathers, and it's great.
I mean, actually, I think every time he turns up, it's always great. Colin Baker has such presence on Big Finish. Recently, the Out of Time 3 with the Weeping Angels and David Tennant's Doctor was great. I think, again, his dynamic was probably the best. You know, I love Tom Baker and David Tennant together. They were kind of two forces of nature.
But the Daleks, then. You're like,
and the Daleks. But there was, and the Peter Davis one was good, but I thought there was something particularly special about the Sixth Doctor and David Tennant together. The Angels were good as well. The Angels really worked in that story. But
they work all the time on audio, actually. I haven't yet had one Angel dud on audio.
Yeah, I haven't listened to all the Angel stuff, but that one was particularly good. And I thought, again, Colin Baker just playing off David Tennant was magic.
Yeah, they talk in the interviews as well how much they love it. And like, I know they're family, right? But I feel that Peter Davison and David Tennant dynamic was the one I liked the least. Maybe because they know each other in real life and talk a lot more, it doesn't have that such special freshness kind of thing to them, for both of them. Like, they know each other, so they know what each other are kind of like. But when you get Tennant and both the Bakers, they haven't really... They don't really know each other, I don't think. They haven't played off each other before.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think the funnest one was probably with four, because, you know, it's 4 and 10.
Yes.
But the best was probably 6. Like, there's one bit where 10's like being his usual self, and 6 is like, good God, do we not get out as much anymore? Is that why we're so frantic? Calm down. Yeah. And like, 10's explaining that angels are like rocket speed, and 6 is like, And when you're done with this lecture on the angels, are you going to explain to me something else? And like, it's just great, because like, 6 is just like, what do we become? Why are we this excitable? Please. Now I want to see 6 and 11 together. That would be...
That would be magic. Yeah.
Imagine just getting... Yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. I think it's... I mean, again, we haven't watched Power of the Doctor, and there's lots of rumours apparently about that special. And obviously, Colin Baker does not look like he did on TV. He's a much older man now. And I don't know how they could realistically do the 6th Doctor on TV now. But if they could find some way of working it out, I think Colin Baker now, playing the kind of Doctor he was playing on Big Finish in a TV appearance would be wonderful.
Well, yeah, you get this with old Doctors. Like, McCoy recently returned for the Season 24 Blu-ray video, and he looks older, but he still looks perfect in the outfit. Like, I think one of the rumours for Power of the Doctor, this is going to sound so silly because you've all heard it, all watched the episode at this point, and we'll look back on this and think it's weird too. But like, one of the rumours is like sort of 13's retro regenerate regress through a few old Doctors, which like how McCoy and Colin Baker could appear, for example.
Who knows?
Because of that, maybe it makes them look older. And...
Well, from your listening point of view, we reviewed what happened in that special, so...
Are we right? Are we wrong? We'll let ourselves know.
Exactly.
Tomorrow.
Definitely.
Well, record it in 2 days, but we'll know tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll know last month.
Well, this is a Doctor Who podcast, timey-wimey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Six, I don't think he really liked that saying timey-wimey in the audio. Yeah.
I can see the 6th Doctor saying timey-wimey in exactly the same amount of disdain as John Hurt's War Doctor.
Yes, that would be great. You just have some of the Doctors like, what good grief, man. Like, that's the 3rd Doctor, obviously.
Yes.
And then you have some like 2 and 4. They're just like, oh yeah,
I'm all timey-wimey, yeah, definitely.
I can imagine Series 8, 12 being like, no. And then Series 10, 12 being like, yeah, why not? And you have the 2 12s like facing off against each other at the same timey-wimey. Brilliant. Oh, tangents. We always go on tangents.
We do. Not too many tangents this time, considering.
Probably because a lot of the tangents are Big Finish related, and this entire podcast is a Big Finish.
Exactly. Next year, we're not really covering much Big Finish because we're talking about anniversary specials and Russell T. Davies' era of Doctor Who. But I'm sure there'll be some Big Finish tangents thrown in periodically.
Ah, yes. 100% there will. We always do. Yeah.
So is there anything else we haven't really covered?
I'm trying to just remember if there's like any more like one-off trilogy companions I've forgotten on something, because he does occasionally have some, but I think all the Doctors do.
Yeah, I mean, he's met River Song.
Okay, yeah. Actually, thanks for reminding me. That was something. That multi-Doctor stories I wanted to touch upon briefly, actually. Because obviously in the Diary of River Song series, River is the main character. The Doctor's definitely side.
Yes.
Until it's her and Ted, in which case that's like Doctor Who, so they... together
they're equal footing.
Yeah, I mean, even and like when she was in Doom Coalition, they had equal footing as well, though they do a clever thing in that she wears like a perception filter or something, makes herself look different for the entirety so Eight doesn't actually remember her.
Right.
But yeah, I say recently like a couple of months back, I was like finishing off Diary of a Song, and I listened to set 2, the one with Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy. And in loads of the stories, obviously, River's the main presence. Like, even in the Tom Baker one, she is very much the main one there. But then I felt that solo one she had with Colin Baker is possibly the only Diary of a River Song with a Doctor where the Doctor still manages to take centre stage and upstage her, almost. Because, like, McCoy, Tom Baker, Paul McGann, they all... Davison, Tim Treadlaw... I think that's all of them now. I mean, she did meet David Bradley briefly in a cameo, but that doesn't really count. They all work with her. Some are opposed to her, some really like her, you know. But then in that 6th Doctor one, it just
really feels Colin Baker's just got such a good performance that you almost, when River's like there doing her thing in her story, you're almost like, no, can we have the Doctor back in this one, please? I want more Colin. Like, because he's also like meant to be like disguised running a business in it. So you have really frustrated Sixth Doctor like wanting to go and investigate the company because that's what he was doing this for. But he's all the paperwork on his desk he needs to sort through and he's just really exasperated. Like, I think there's another point where usually in these stories you'd get like River needs to rescue the Doctor. But I think there is one point where River's the one who's captured and the Doctor needs to rescue her, which is weird for a Diary of River Song story. Mm. So in short, basically, Colin Baker can upstage Alex Kingston.
Yes,
wow. In the same story, when it's just the two of them.
But he's great. I mean, I'm really glad we spoke about this because Colin Baker is so good at Big Finish. I always look forward to it. I mean, there were so many Big Finish releases that I never got a chance to listen to all of them as much as I would like to. But you always know you're going to get something really good when it's Sixth Doctor.
Yeah, there's only a few, like, I don't really like. Again, I can't really think off the top of my head other than maybe, like, Behemoth. But, like, and especially, again, in multi-Doctor stories, because he has quite a few of those. Especially with McCoy, 6 and 7 get paired up a lot.
Mm.
And even in those, he still always manages to keep his presence. Like, Sirens of Time, for example, obviously, Parts 1, 2 and 3 are dedicated to each of the three Doctors, and then Part 4 they all meet up. But Collins is the best part, and then in Part 4 he's again the best. And you get Project Lazarus, and I think his part's the best, although he is in the second part actually, not saying how, you know, spoiler. Right at the end he's great, because yeah. I mean, you get like, Davison's kind of on his own for most of it, and then you get Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy, and then on the other side you get Tom Baker and Paul McGann together, which is great. And a Collision Course he's there, like in the Legacy of Time. It's just so many, it's just hard to keep track of the multi-Doctor stories he's in. Actually, there was one recently, but I'm not going to say what story it was, because that would spoil the story. But let's just say there is one recently, which is a multi-Doctor story with Six in, which is utterly brilliant. Like, both the Doctors in it are really good, and I wish we saw more of those two specifically interacting together, because they have before, but only in wider circles.
Yeah.
It's not just the two of those. So yeah, there we are, Cryptic Tease. Go find out which one that is. It's released sometime in the last 2 years. Possibly closer to recent. Enjoy. So, I guess that brings an end to the Sixth Doctor Big Finish discussion. I'm probably going to mess this up and waffle now because I've not done the outro before. So, thanks for joining us for our latest episode, and remember, we are part of the We Made This podcast network. Please subscribe to the TARDIS crew and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Next time, we're going festive and Christmassy, but we're not going really dark like last time we jumped to midnight. This time, well, I mean, this story is kind of dark in a way if you want to get psychological about it. We're going to A Christmas Carol.
Yes, looking forward to it. It's one of the best Christmas specials.
Yeah, like 11th Doctor, Stephen Moffat wrote it, Amy and Rory, not much, but it's still a really, really good special. Very much makes use of the timey-wimey-ness. And I said this would be rambly. So, join us again for the TARDIS crew, because somewhere there's danger, somewhere there's injustice, somewhere else the tea's getting cold.